Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I am your co-host, Andrew McPeak, and our mission here at Growing Leaders is to empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life. And Tim, we've got a treat today.
We do. Yeah. Will is a very good friend, one of our speakers, and he has a great work that he does on his own for educators, particularly administrators. So this will be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So Will is, like you said, he's a speaker, he's a writer, he's a thinker. In fact, he's written two books, Principle Matters and Messaging Matters. He's also the host of the Principle Matters podcast, which is a fantastic podcast that we're big advocates of. But Will has also become a friend over the years, and so we both just really appreciate him and what he brings to the world and the friendship that he's been for us as well.
Yep. So, Will, welcome to the conversation today.
Hi, Tim. Hi, Andrew. It's so exciting to talk to both of you. You know I'm a huge fan of Growing Leaders, and especially the work that you guys are doing with schools and educators and kids across the nation and the world. So thank you so much for letting me be a part of your conversation today.
Yeah. Well, what I love about you, Will, is Will Parker, ladies and gentlemen, is a leader, but he's also a dad, a husband. He leads well, I believe, in every context he's in. So whatever you are, listener, his words will be practical and applicable to you as well. So I'm just going to jump in, Will. We want to talk about one of your earlier books. We want to talk about the eight hats that school administrators wear. When you move out of the classroom into the front office, you're an administrator. One might think, oh, good, things are simpler now, but they're really not. Your complexities just grow into a different world, don't they?
Yeah. You know, I was a classroom teacher for 11 years, Tim, and when I had the opportunity to move into school administration, I was excited, I was trained, I felt prepared. I remember when I had those master keys in my hand just thinking, wow, this is the moment I've been waiting for. And then it only took a couple of days for me to realize, oh my gosh, there's so much more to the role of being a school leader and a building leader than there was to just leading my classroom.
Yeah.
So, you know, fast forward 13 years later, and after serving as an assistant principal and high school principal, I've begun to teach back to leaders some of the things that I've learned through that process, that there are so many hats that you have to wear. But if you can understand the skills connected to each one of those areas, you can begin to develop those in ways where you enjoy the work that you're doing.
Yeah.
I love to tell leaders the importance is to get to the point where you're thriving, not just surviving. And so that's why I try to focus down onto just eight areas that I think are essential for school leaders. I call it the eight hats.
Yeah. So listeners, we're going to be talking today about the eight hats you'll wear as an educational leader. And Will, I'd love for you just to give a quick overview of each of these eight hats to kind of kick us off.
Yeah, let me do that. Let me just give you a quick overview, and then we can pull out a couple of them, because I know that in the time of our podcast, we're limited. And these are actually lessons that I've taught in settings of full-day trainings. I've taught these in separate settings for each hat, and so there's a lot of content. So so let me just cover them all eight really quickly and with a quick description, and then we'll come back and park on a couple if you'd like. But the first hat is the hat of the coach. You know, someone has to make the final call, and as the principal, that's often the building leader. And whether you're a principal listening to this or an education leader or a teacher, being a leader means that you have to be the person who understands the strengths and the weaknesses of those that you're leading. You have to be willing to get input from others, but ultimately, you have to be the one that makes the final call. And so coaches are the ones who set the tone, they cast the vision, they motivate their teams to action. And even if you're not a pep talk kind of person, it's important that you're clear with your direction, consistent with your follow through, fair-minded in difficult situations, and like it or not, others are going to look to you for direction, and they'll follow your lead. So you have to plan to lead positively. So that first hat is the hat of the coach. The second hat is the hat of the manager. And although school leadership is way more than management, management and organizational leadership is a part of the job. And some principals are so surprised at the amount of work that they're required to do for supervision and personnel and generating reports and budgets and scheduling. And if you're transitioning from the classroom, now you're responsible for an entire school. And you cannot manage a school without a great team. And so one way that I've tried to encourage principals is to focus on the management of their school by understanding the responsibilities of those you're leading. For instance, I often encourage principals to assign their staff members key responsibility areas. And Tim, I know you guys do that in your work too, but that's something I think principals can learn as wearing the hat of the manager. The third hat is what I call the hat of the counselor. It's, you know, whether you're handling concerns with students or parents or teachers or staff, a significant amount of the work that a school leader does is listening. And I'm not a counselor by trade, but I do believe that part of the job of the school leader is to be a good listener, ask for feedback, look for solutions from the input of others. And sometimes people just need to be heard. There's not always a solution they're looking for. They're just looking for someone that can hear them. And so my favorite Stephen Covey quote when I think about the counselor hat is the quote where he says, "Seek first to understand before seeking to be understood." So that's hat number three. Hat number four I call accountability or on duty. Like it or not, everyone is accountable. And just because you've moved into the position of a building leader or a principal or an education leader in whatever setting, it does not mean that you're not accountable. You still answer to others. You still answer to your State Department. You still answer to those within your district. You still follow the same rules and regulations and policies and laws that you expect your staff to follow. And so I like to remind leaders, think about the policies and expectations that you have for the people on your team. And are you following them yourselves? For instance, when I was the principal, our district had a sign-in policy for employees when they came into the building each morning. So guess what I did every morning? I signed in first because I want to be that person that practices that. Mm. So that's hat number four. Hat number five, I call this the hat of the cheerleader. You're the chief communicator for your school. And I can't overemphasize the importance of school leaders being committed to being the chief cheerleaders, the ones who are overwhelming their school population with the positive things that are happening from their schools, because you're going to be managing a lot of negatives. So being present, following up with strong communication to your staff, to your parents, to your communities, sharing photos and updates and newsletters. That's a powerful part of your leadership. Hat number six, I call it the hat of the servant leader. And the quickest way for me to explain this is that you can still work a mop while wearing a tie or being in your dress clothes. Principals are not exempt from service. And one of the best ways that you can model leadership for those in your building is to roll up your sleeves and get in there and still do the hard work that everyone else does. It doesn't mean that you ignore the main responsibilities that you have, but getting in line, serving kids at lunches, making sure that you're at bus duties, all those things that model for others what it means to be a servant leader. And then hat number seven, I call this the hat of the team player. A principal can't work alone. If you're not creating guiding coalitions, shared leadership with your staff, your teachers, your students, and your community members, then you're missing out on the power that comes from others informing the work that you do. So strong leaders don't push, they lead and they're followed. And I love this quote that I once heard from someone who said, "Tuck in your cape, you're not a superhero, you are on a team." And then, Tim, the last hat is the hat of the individual. And I like to remind school leaders, at the end of the day, you are still a person. And in the wheel of life, if you pour the majority of your time and energy into just your work while neglecting those other areas of your life, like your family, your finances, your physical health, your spiritual growth, then you're going to burn out. And just like seeds grow best if they're planted in the right soil, you have to cultivate every area of your life so that when you are investing in people and activities and passions, your heart is singing and you're motivated by those things that you are doing for yourself so that you can continue to inspire others. So I know that was a lot of information in those eight hats, but that's the quickest overview I can give of what those look like. And I'm happy to unpack some of those, Tim, if you've got further questions.
Well, you know, we love metaphors. And I think you just gave us eight metaphors that are clear and understandable. So that's great. I appreciate it, Will. So you mentioned earlier about double-clicking on maybe a couple of these. If you were to focus just on one or two that you think are super relevant today, which ones would you focus on?
Sure. Well, I'll focus on a couple. Whenever I present this to school leaders, and often I'm in a room with, you know, it could be five leaders, it could be 100 leaders, I'll present those and ask them, tell me which of those areas that you would like more feedback on or you need growth. And it's amazing the variety of responses that I get for that. But I'm just going to focus on a couple that I've been hearing a lot lately from principals. And that's the counselor and the individual. So let me just park on those, Tim, first. And with the counselor, let me just try to connect that hat to a story. And I'm going to tell you the story of a student named Lisa. as an example of what I think the counselor hat looks like, and then we can unpack this a little bit. Several years ago in our high school, when we were bringing middle school students up, we were identifying students that were having at-risk behaviors before they ever came to us. We began to look at the data of the students that we were receiving to see who's been struggling before they came to us, whether that was struggling in academics or social-emotional learning or things that were beyond those students' control. And we were able to identify a number of students coming into our high school setting that had already experienced adverse risk when they were in middle school. And one of the wonderful things that we did as a team is we sat down with teachers and my counselors and our administrative staff, and we asked, what can we be doing to better support these kids who are already experiencing struggle before they come to us? And we created what we called Mentor 180 teams, where we identified an upperclassman student, strong boy or girl. We identified a teacher who was willing to volunteer time to be on this mentor team, and we reached out to a parent or guardian for permission to have a weekly meeting with that student so that we could look at grades, we could look at performance, we could provide feedback and give them a team where they could have a consistent place to land for feedback and accountability. And I'm going to tell you the story of one student. Her name was Lisa. When she came to us, she was from a family where she had lost both of her parents in middle school. One parent had died while in prison. The other parent had died from health difficulties. And so Lisa was an orphan who had been placed into foster care. And when she came to us, she had failed every class the year before, but she had been promoted because of her age. And when we knew that she was coming in, we tried to identify a really good team, a great teacher for her to be with, and an older student who understood struggle but who had been successful, with permission from her foster parent and the counselor, so that weekly she was meeting with this team. And as Lisa was meeting with this team, the teacher came to see me one day and she said, "Will, I'm really struggling because Lisa's struggling. And as we're meeting with her weekly, she's really resisting any kind of feedback. And we're having a hard time gaining her trust." And I said a couple of things to her, Tim, that I still remember now. I said, "Let me tell you something that probably won't be that encouraging." And she said, "What is it?" And I said, "When you work with kids like Lisa, you have to prepare yourself to be disappointed." And she said, "You're right, Will, that's not encouraging." And I said, "But here's the follow-up. The follow-up is that you can't give up, because kids like Lisa need to know that there's an adult in their life that won't give up on them, even when they're disappointing them." And she said, "Thank you for the feedback." And over the next several weeks, as they worked with Lisa, she finally began to come around. And by the end of that first semester, she was passing every one of her classes. She was performing well in school. And one day she got frustrated and walked out of the building. And as the principal, it was my responsibility to find her and give her some consequences. And so her consequence was an assignment to one of our in-school placement rooms for a full day, where she had to do her work under supervision. And at the end of that day, she sent me a note that said, "Mr. Parker, I finished my work. What now?" So I grabbed a book called Chicken Soup for the Teenager's Soul, and I sent it down to the room. And a little bit later, a couple hours later, she sent me another note that said, "I finished the book, now what?" And I thought she was joking, so I sent a note for her to come to my office, and I had just finished meeting with other students and other work. But as Lisa sat across from me, I began to go through the book with her and realized that she had just read this book in a couple of hours. She was so inspired by this book that she was asking me, "Do I have anything else like it?" So I called the librarian, and she sent down another Chicken Soup for the Soul for Women book. And as I handed it to Lisa, she got up to leave my office as the bell was ringing for the end of the day, and she said, "I can take this with me?" And I said, "Yes." And she clutched it to her chest, like I'll never forget the look, like a Christmas present. And she said, "You mean it's mine?" And as she left that day, Tim, I was thinking about a lot of things. And the reason I told that story about the counselor hat is this. If you unpack that story, there's so much there that I think is important for school leaders. Number one, we tried to surround Lisa with supports. We tried to create an environment where there's more than one person who's watching out for her. We tried to create a situation where she had a safe, caring environment. And as a leader, my job was to hold her accountable. That's my job as a principal, but to also provide her with an opportunity where she can grow and learn and be held accountable, but encouraged in the ways that she loves to learn. And so I know it's hard to take one story and say, that's how you wear that hat.
Right, right.
But that's the quickest way for me to explain the importance of a school leader understanding the power of wearing a good counselor hat.
I love the fact, Will, that at least in that story, we could say you hadn't forgotten why you got into this gig in the first place. It was to help the next generation of students who are going to be the next generation of adults. And she needed mm-hmm. that from two caring adults there. That's so cool. So I'd love for you to kind of double click. You mentioned the individual hat, that you're still a human being and a person, not just a professional. I still remember, Will, when I was in elementary school, finding one of my teachers or seeing one of my teachers in a grocery store, and I couldn't believe the school let her out. You know, that she was actually a wife and mother, and she had to shop for groceries. And I thought, you're off campus? I just hadn't thought about it. But it's true. So talk about that individual hat. That might be very helpful and redemptive for our listeners.
Yeah, well, thanks for asking, because I think it's so important for principals to remember, and school leaders and education leaders and anyone that's in the field of serving others, that you are still a person. And, you know, when I changed from classroom teacher to school administrator, it was hard work. And the first year was a lot of time, a lot of dedication, a lot of learning. I invested a lot of time outside of my home, and my family sacrificed a lot for me too. But as I stepped into year two, I really hadn't found a balance. I was spending so much time at school that one night, as I was wrapping up the evening and we had just put our children to bed, I'm the father of four, and my wife and I had small children at the time. My wife, Missy, asked, she said, "Well, can we talk?" And so I sat down. I normally would just spend the evening answering emails and preparing for the next day of school, but I shut my laptop, and she said, "Well, I just need to be honest with you. I feel like you have become a father and a husband on the weekends only, and that the school owns you the rest of the time. In fact," she said, "you've become a shell of the man that you used to be." And that was one of those conversations where she didn't say that with bitterness or resentment. It was just resignation. Just, this is the truth. And I sat down that evening, Tim, and I actually did something radical. I wrote a letter of resignation. The things that I would be saying to my superiors by the end of that school year, some things didn't change in my work. And it wasn't their fault. This was a letter for me. And I took that letter and I put it on my desk and put it in a folder, and I set it at the corner of my desk. And I told myself, I'm either going to find a better way to begin to reinvest in those areas of my life, my family, my health, my nutrition. I gained weight. I wasn't exercising. I wasn't spending time reflecting. I wasn't reading rich, deep books for my own growth. I wasn't praying. And so I began to just say to myself, I'm either going to find ways to begin to reinvest in those areas of my life, or I'm going to leave this profession. And, you know, I wish I could say there was a silver bullet. There wasn't. But as I began to slowly reinvest time, spending time taking breaks at lunch and connecting with other adults and actually eating, or getting up in the morning and spending 30 minutes exercising before getting ready for school, or just spending time with my family instead of working. And those things began to reinvigorate me. And what I found was I began to be more energetic in the work that I did, more inspired, more creative, because I was investing back in myself. Mm-hmm. And so wearing that individual hat is such an important part for anyone who's serving others, because you can't help others unless you're also helping you.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know how much we believe in the habitude, the starving baker, Will. It's the baker that spends so much time baking bread for others that he or she will forget and starve. And that's what you had learned that year. And thank God for spouses that are willing to be truthful with us and say, let me tell you what it's like to be on the other side of you. You know, and that's exactly what changed you, it sounds like. So I want to really just ask the bigger question. If there is a teacher, leader, or a new principal listening right now, what would you say are some of the early steps? What would be the advice you would give them as they take on this new role?
Sure. If you're stepping into that new role, first of all, let me just advise you to give yourself some grace. You're going to be, anytime you step into something new, there's a lot of learning that has to happen. And so don't feel like you have to perform perfectly, because you will not. Give yourself a lot of grace to remember that anytime you've tried something new, it takes a while to begin to wrap your mind around what those new responsibilities look like and how to balance all of those roles and responsibilities. But if I had to focus on one area that I think would be important for a school leader to really understand as they're stepping into leadership, and that would be the importance of being a part of a team. recognizing that you cannot do this alone. And so one of the best things that you can do is to be vulnerable and open with your staff and the people that you're serving. Let them know what you do know, and then ask questions when you don't. And admit when you're not sure what that next step needs to be. And yeah. surround yourself with other people who you can say, you know, here's the steps that we need to take and the goals that we need to be working on, but I'm unsure about this. Can you provide me feedback? So listening to the feedback of others, you know, a lot of new leaders, one of the wisest things they can do is to sit down and create guiding coalitions of other people. Ask their teachers, what works well in this school, but where should we improve? Ask students, what's been working well in this school and where should we improve? Ask parents and community members that same question. And so by providing yourself with the openness and the vulnerability to admit that you need input, people are going to trust you more because you're willing to say, I want to learn. And so instead of coming in with ideas of how to change things immediately, you need to have a deep understanding of the place that you're serving so that you can make those changes. So, Tim, that's the advice I would give for new leaders on ways to start building that kind of culture for change and transformation.
Well, I so agree. In fact, I would think the advice you just gave would be great for any new leader of any context, that you've got to go in not pretending that you've got all the answers and never let them see a sweat and, you know, that sort of thing. People can see right through that. For you to go in with humility and saying, I'm going to be listening as much as talking these days until I get my sea legs, and maybe even after I get my sea legs. I think you've been able to keep that humble posture all along the way, Will, and that's one of the reasons I think you're so winsome. So thank you for sharing with us today. Extremely helpful, extremely practical, and that's what we love these podcasts to be.
Well, thank you, Tim. I love the work that you guys are doing at Growing Leaders, and your habitudes are such powerful lessons for leaders to use in their own development, but also with the development of their teams. So I'm a big fan of what you guys are doing at Growing Leaders, and I consider it such an honor to get to talk to you.
Great. You
Thanks,
too,
Will. Well, this is Andrew chiming in. Will, I'd actually, before you go, I'd love for you to share with our listeners how they can get in touch with you and what you're doing. You're producing some amazing content out there, so give us a clue into how they can connect with you.
Yeah, well, thanks, Andrew. If you'd like to connect with me, I would love to connect with you guys, and you guys lead a powerful podcast, and I have a weekly podcast for school leaders also that's called Principal Matters, the School Leaders Podcast, and you can find it at my website at williamdparker.com. If you'd like to subscribe for my weekly updates, I'll send you a quick summary of those 8 hats. You'll get an ebook that just kind of summarizes each of those areas that I've covered with you today. So please reach out to me there at my website at williamdparker.com, and I'd love to stay connected.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Will, so much. I really appreciate it. You know, Tim mentioned it at the beginning, but Will is actually also a speaker for us with Growing Leaders. And so if you're listening to what Will is saying and going, we need that at our school or we need that at our conference, we would love to send him to you. So go on over to growingleaders.com, click on speakers, and you can read more about having Will on your campus or at your conference. We'd love for that to happen. Thank you, Will. Thank you, Tim, for leading us. If you want to connect with us with Growing Leaders and our podcast, we'd love for you to do a couple of things for us. If you would rate the podcast, that is so helpful for us to get the word out about what we're doing. If you want to connect with us on social media, we are at Tim Elmore and at Growing Leaders everywhere you are. And then lastly, if you've got ideas for this podcast, people you want us to interview, topics you want us to cover, shoot us an email. It's podcast@growingleaders.com. We love getting those from you guys. Thank you once again, Will. Thank you again, Tim. And thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.